Last week we began a two-part message that I want to continue today. It's not a biblical message in the sense that I'm taking a passage of scripture and focusing on that particular story or that particular passage. I'm focusing on a topic, and the topic is the word success. And this was triggered a couple of weeks ago because I pulled off of my shelf a book I had not seen in years by Dr. John Maxwell. And the title of it was The Journey to Success. The Journey to Success. So I want to bring a series of messages eventually, probably beginning with Joseph, maybe Daniel, some of the outstanding characters of the Word of God that would epitomize our understanding of success. And we began that message last Sunday after several remarks by looking at the traditional view of success. And the traditional view is that if I can be like somebody else, and I use that piece that was written years ago, if I had the wealth of Bill Gates, or I had the physique of Arnold Schwarzenegger, or the intelligence of Einstein, it's if I could be somebody else, I could be successful, or I would be successful. And so many of us picture success as looking like somebody else, of having what somebody else has that we don't have. We don't realize sometimes that there are people looking at us and saying, well, if I could only be like her, if I could only be like him, I would be a success. Because we do that. If I could only be, if I could only look, if I could only do what somebody else is doing. And what a person is doing when they're doing that is that they're wanting to be something that they are not. And they want to be somebody else. We shouldn't want to be somebody else. God created us. He created us uniquely. And we have said some things about that. I'm going to say more about that today as well. But we cannot become somebody else. You know the saying today, it is what it is. That's what you are. You is what you is. You're not going to be somebody else. And even if you try to imitate them, you would be a poor imitation, honestly. So we looked at what people say is the traditional view. If I could just be like somebody else. And we looked at the wrong picture of success. The wrong picture. And so as a result, we looked at wealth, and we looked at if I could just have a special feeling, if I can feel successful, if I can feel happy, somehow that will translate into success. He shared the illustration of Donald Trump, who said he had a lot of friends that were a lot happier than he was. He had more money than they did, but he could look at them and tell they were happier, so they must be successful. So he looked at success not as possessions or money, but on a scale of happiness. That's what he considered to be success. We looked at specific possessions, worthwhile possessions. If I had this, if I had that, if I had a certain kind of car, if I had a certain kind of job, if I lived in a certain place, if I had a certain kind of house, if I had. And we equate that with, well, if I had that, I would be successful. Now, you might be elated for a little while. You might feel elevated for a little while. But I assure you that will not last. It will pass. It'll be replaced by something else. So a wrong picture of wealth, a special feeling, specific possessions, power. Oh, there are people who love and crave power. Washington, D.C. is filled with people who want power. They don't care how they get it. Scheme, lie, cheat, steal, power. And how close to power can they get? That is their definition of success. Someone said that power is usually recognized as an excellent short-term antidepressant. So if it's a short-term antidepressant, that means power will not continue to satisfy. It will not fulfill. It may temporarily. It may give you a high that will soon pass away. Power is not the answer. Well, if I can just achieve, if I can just do something very special in this world, if they can attain a position, if they can accomplish a goal, if they have a relationship with the right person, that person is successful, that person has money, that person has accomplishments. If I can just get close to them and be like them, if I can achieve, I'll be successful. Simply achieving goals, and we all can set goals, and I hope that you do set goals. And we can, after a period of time, can see a goal sometimes coming to pass. That's very temporary. We're talking about something that's going to last. The story of Michael Jordan, I used that last week. He won 3 NBA championships and said, okay, I'm done with basketball. He tried to play baseball for a couple of years and he wasn't nearly as successful. I think him trying to play baseball was a very humbling experience for him. And he was drawn back to basketball in his mid-30s. Won 3 more NBA championships. 6. Altogether. Now he owns a Carolina team, the billionaire beyond whatever in wealth. I wonder how happy he is. I wonder what he thinks about success. Well, this morning, let's concentrate on the right picture. The right picture of success. How do we get started on a successful journey? The success journey. What does it take to be a success? Two things are required: a right picture of what success is, and the right principles for getting there. The right picture, not a distorted picture, and the right principles for getting there. The picture of success isn't the same for any two people, because we were created differently as unique individuals. But the process is basically the same for everyone. It's based on principles that do not change. After more than 20 years of knowing successful people, studying the subject, Dr. Maxwell, who wrote this book that I'm basing these thoughts on, came up with that definition that I concluded with last Sunday. Success is knowing your purpose in life, growing to reach your maximum potential, and sowing seeds of benefit into the lives of other people. So I'm going to spend our time with those three ideas this morning. First of all, in knowing our purpose. No matter how long you live, or what you decide to do in life, you will never exhaust your capacity to grow toward your potential. You say, we reach a certain age, and I've done all I'm going to do, I've done all I can do. We still have potential. Until you're totally disabled, you still have potential. And you don't run out of opportunities to help people. You never run out of opportunities to help people. When you see success as a journey, you'll never have a problem of saying, I've arrived. It's done. I'm a success. It's always ongoing. It's perpetual. It's perpetual. When I reach a certain age, I'm done. Oh, so many people have missed so much of life because they have that attitude that I've reached a certain age, I've reached a certain level, and I'm done. Not until you draw your last breath. Not until you draw your last breath are you done. When you see success as a journey, you'll never have a problem of trying to arrive at that elusive final destination. You say, well, how will I know? You remember the Bible talks about the judgment seat of Christ? God knows. God knows. God will make the final judgments. God knows how far we have come. God knows what we have done with what He's given us. God will judge. God will reward. You'll never find yourself in a position where you have accomplished some final goal only to discover that you're still unfulfilled and searching for something else to do. That was Michael Jackson, or Michael Jordan. He had reached a certain level, a certain destination, but he was unfulfilled. Another benefit of focusing on the journey of success instead of on arriving at a destination or achieving a goal is that you have the potential to become a success today. How do you become a success today? That's a good question. How do you become a success today? The very moment that you make the shift to find your purpose, growing in your potential, helping others, that's a taste of success. And you can have that every day. Every day can be a day of success. It's a one day at a time. It accumulates, but it accumulates one day at a time. Be successful today. Be successful tomorrow. Be successful the next day. Continue to strive. Continue to grow. Continue to sow into the lives of other people. That's not too hard, is it? That's not too hard. To get a better handle on these aspects of success, let's take a look at each one of them. We know our purpose. Well, some questions that we ask ourselves. What am I searching for? What am I searching for? All of us have desires buried in our hearts. Something that speaks to our deepest thoughts and feelings, and sometimes it sets our soul on fire. It excites us. We're glad to get out of bed. Some people have a strong sense of what they want to do, even when they're children. I've known children like that. You probably have too. Others take, it seems like, a lifetime. They've hit middle age and they have no idea what's going on in the world. They have no idea who they were designed and created to be. That's a tragedy. That's a waste of life, waste of time, waste of opportunities and abilities. You need to find that. Why was I created? Each of us is different. God is a creative God. No one else in the world has exactly the same gifts or talents or background or future that you have. No one. That's one of the reasons it would be a serious mistake for you to try to be someone other than yourself. enjoy yourself. First of all, enjoy yourself. Now, that doesn't mean that you don't want to improve. That doesn't mean you can't do better. But I believe people have to learn to enjoy themselves. To enjoy what God created you to be. He didn't give you that talent over there. He didn't give you that ability over there. He gave you this. Okay, God, what do you want me to do with it? How do you want me to develop it? Where do you want me to use it? And so tomorrow morning you get up and you do it. And the next day you get up and you do it. It's called growing. Growing. Do I believe in my potential? You cannot consistently act in a manner inconsistent with the way that you see yourself. How do you see yourself? If you don't believe that you have potential, you will never try to reach it. If you don't believe that you were created for a purpose, you will never seek it. If you aren't willing to work toward reaching your potential, you will never be successful. Or you'll live a life. You can live a life. You can have a job. You can have a family. You can have a lot of things. But did you really invest your life? Did you really reach the potential for which God created you? That's a challenge. When do I start? The question is then, when do I start? And the answer is now. Now. I'm too old. No. I'm too young. No. Now. Now. Growing to your potential. Growing to your potential. H.G. Wells, the novelist, held that wealth, notoriety, place, and power are no measures of success whatsoever. That's not the way you measure it. The only true measure of success is the ratio between what you might have been and what you have become. There's the rub. What you might have been and what you actually have become. Are you growing towards your potential? It's been said that potential is God's gift to us. And what we do with it is our gift to God. But at the same time, our potential is probably our greatest untapped resource. Henry Ford observed, "There is no man living who isn't capable of doing more than he thinks he can." We can do more than we think we can. We think small. We think safely. We don't want to stretch. Strive. Work hard. That's how you fulfill your potential. We have nearly limitless potential. What God created As Dr. Merritt was describing this morning, God creating the man, then God creating the woman. The potential. The human race was in those two people. Those two people have affected the whole human race. We can't do We can do anything, but we can't do everything. We can do anything, but we can't do everything. Many people let everyone around them decide their agenda. We listen to what they tell us that we should do, or they tell us what we should be, or they determine our future. Now, unless they are God, I would be very skeptical. When somebody else tries to tell you what you should be and what you should do and where you should go and so forth. And I don't mean that in a rebellious sense. Please don't misunderstand. But it's so easy just to sort of turn our life over to somebody else to tell me what to do. Point me in the right direction. God has potential for us to fulfill. It's okay to be a jack of all trades, master of none. But where to focus? In Philippians chapter 3, these verses came to mind yesterday as I was reading. Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. I don't have it all yet, Paul said. But one thing I do. What's that phrase mean? Focus. One thing I do. I can do this and this and this and go here and there, over there and go there. But this is what I do. This is what I focus on. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. You forget the past and you focus on the future. This one thing. There's a positive and a negative. Well, the negative first. The negative and the positive. You forget what's past. You focus, you reach forward on what's before you. Very, very important. Let me read you Jeremiah's note. Christians who long to finish well will cultivate, one, the discipline of focus, striving for the single goal, the one thing, until its completion, undeterred by obstacles or the taunts of the crowd. And two, the discipline of forgetting. Refusing to be paralyzed or rendered complacent by the past. Oh, so many people are stuck in their past. They can't get away from their past. Their past is holding them back from moving forward. The discipline of following, intensely pursuing the calling of the Christian life until victory has been won. So he's saying three things there. In that passage, the discipline of focus, the discipline of forgetting, and thirdly, the discipline of following. three or four things quickly. Concentrate on one main goal. Concentrate on one main goal. No one ever reached a goal by going off in 20 different directions. Some people live that way. They're just so scattered. We call them scatterbrained. You know the phrase. They're here, they're there, they're over here, they're over there. Focus. That's why it's so important to discover your purpose. Once you've decided where to focus your attention, you must decide what you're willing to give up to do it. There's always a price to be paid. What are you willing to give up? How hard are you willing to work? How much are you willing to sacrifice to do it? There can be no success without sacrifice. The two go hand in hand. And if you desire to accomplish a little, then you sacrifice a little. But if you want to accomplish great things, be willing to sacrifice much. Secondly, concentrate on continued improvement. Years ago, I'm not sure this is true now, but one of the chief executive officers of the Walmart stores was once asked whom he admired most. His answer was the Walmart founder, Sam Walton. And here's why. There's never been a day in his life since I've known him that he didn't improve in some way. He became one of the richest families in America, the Walton family. And he made money every day, probably. But he sought ways to improve himself in some way every day. Now, I don't fall in that category. You probably don't fall in that category. But every day that I read something new, every day that I think something new, every day that I discover something new, it is exciting to me. Every day that I hear, like that song last night, that's exciting to me. That adds to my pool. And we need to keep refurbishing. Replenishing is the word. We need to keep replenishing our pool of knowledge and information that excites us about life. Concentrate on continual improvement. Forget the past. Forget the past. Many of you, I'm sure, know the name Jack Hayford. Jack Hayford, I'm not even sure he's still alive. He may or may not be, but he pastored a church on the West Coast in California. And he made this comment, "The past is a dead issue. And we can't gain any momentum moving forward toward tomorrow if we are dragging the past behind us." I'm afraid that over the years, that's been one of Bible Center's problems. We changed locations and we changed buildings, but we have dragged much of the past behind us. We're willing to think like they thought 70 years ago or 50 years ago. We've drugged the past behind us. Forget the past. Thank God for the past. But we have to move off of that. We have to move off of that and beyond that. Cyrus Curtis, years ago, was the owner of the Saturday Evening Post. And he had a sign hanging in his office that announced, "Yesterday ended last night." Yesterday ended last night. It was his way of reminding himself and his employees that the past is done, and we should be looking forward, not backward. Maybe you've made a lot of mistakes in your life, or you've had an especially difficult past with many obstacles. But work your way through that and move on. Don't let it prevent you from reaching your potential. And maybe your potential can never be what it could have been. But we need to cut and move forward. Booker T. Washington was a famous black man in American history. He was born into slavery. He was denied access to many resources that were available to the white society of that day. But he never let that prevent him from pursuing his potential. He founded the Tuskegee Institute and the National Black Business League. He said, "I've learned that success is to be measured not so much by the position that one has reached in life as by the obstacles which one has overcome while trying to succeed." In other words, what does it take to stop you? "Oh, well, that's too hard. That's too difficult. That's when you press through. Think of Helen Keller, who lost her sight at age 19 months. She overcame her severe difficulties, went on to graduate from Radcliffe College, became an author, a noted lecturer, a champion of people that were blind. Helen Keller. Franklin Roosevelt. In 1921, at the age of 39, he had a severe case of polio that left him disabled and in terrible pain. He never walked again without assistance. But he didn't let that stop from pursuing his potential. 8 years later, he became the governor of New York, and in 1932, he became the president of the United States. Now, I don't care what your politics are at this moment, but that's an illustration of pressing toward his potential. No doubt we can think of others who have overcome tragedies and past mistakes and to pursue their potential. You may know personally people who have fought back from adversity to become successful. Let them inspire you. No matter what you've faced in the past, you have the potential to overcome. It's an amazing thing that God has created in us humans. And I love Yogi Berra. I love Yogi Berra and his yogi-isms. But he declared that the future isn't what it used to be. Think of that. The future isn't what it used to be. And that's true. But it's still the only place we have to go. It's the only place we have to go. Oh, there's life out there. Good. Your potential lies ahead of you. Whether you're 8 or 18 or 28 or 48 or 80, your potential lies ahead of you. You still have room to improve. You can become better tomorrow than you are today. The Spanish proverb says, "He who does not look ahead remains behind." He who does not look ahead remains behind. Which direction are you looking? Behind or ahead? I know a lot of us have a lot behind us. A lot behind us. But our potential is still ahead of us. The potential of this church is still ahead. What could be is still ahead. What might be is still ahead. So we focus on the future. Quickly, the third leg of this three-legged stool is sowing seeds that benefit the lives of other people. When you know your purpose, why am I here? And you're growing to reach your potential. Hopefully your maximum potential, but very few of us, I'm sure, ever reach our maximum potential. But when we're doing that, there's still one more essential part on that journey of success, and that is helping people. Without that aspect of helping people, the journey can be lonely and the experience shallow. It's been said, you've heard it many times, that we make a living by what we get. We make a life by what we give. Physician, philosopher, theologian Albert Schweitzer stated it even more strongly. The purpose of human life is to serve, to show compassion and the will to help others. For him, the success journey led him to Africa, where he served people for many years. For you, sowing seeds that benefit others probably won't mean traveling to another country. Unless that is your purpose to be fulfilled. And if it is, you won't be satisfied until you do that. But if you're like most people, helping others is something that you can do right here at home. Whether it's spending more time with your family, developing an employee who shows potential, helping people in the community, putting your desires on hold for the sake of your team at work. The key is finding your purpose and help others while you're pursuing your purpose. Now think of this. You're juggling three balls here. What is my purpose? What is my potential? How do I benefit others? Many of you remember the entertainer Danny Thomas, Marlo Thomas's father. And Danny Thomas maintained that all of us are born for a reason. But all of us don't discover why. And that's one of the tragedies. We're born for a reason, but we don't discover why. That's seeking your potential. Success, I'm still quoting, success in life has nothing to do with what you gain in life or accomplish for yourself. It's what you do for others. Danny Thomas. The success journey will not look the same for everyone because the picture of success is different for every one of us. But the principles used to take the journey don't change. They can be applied at home, in school, the office, the ball field, in church, anywhere. The principles that can work, that can help you work toward knowing your purpose, growing your potential, sowing seeds of benefit into the lives of other people. You can't sow into everybody. You're somewhat limited to your family. I'm still sowing. I'm still sowing into my family. More than that, I'm sowing into two people in particular, Jerry and Lorraine, so that they will have principles to sow into their children, even though their children have reached adult age. There's so much those kids don't know. And so I sow into my children so they can sow into their children. And hopefully the sowing goes on. Doesn't matter where you are now, you can learn to apply these principles. And when you do, that's success. That's success. It's not the pile of money. It's not the house. It's not the position. It's not the power. Have you done all that you could with the potential that God gave you? Have you maximized your potential? Are you using your opportunities to sow into the lives of other people? Family, friends, neighbors, what have you. There's a saying in our society, I don't know who originated it, but it said, be all that you can be. Be all that you can be. That would be a good motto to take personally, every one of us. I want to be all that I can be, regardless of my age. You need to be all that you can be, regardless of your age, regardless of your limitations, regardless of your health. Be all that you can be. Do all that you can do with what you have. Because that is a part of the key to one day at the judgment seat of Christ. Well done. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Father, thank you for the opportunity today to share. May the seeds, O God, that have been scattered today fall on good soil, be watered and cultivated and cared for to grow, to not only bless the individual, but that individual, Father, to bless others. To bless others. Help us to be successful in your sight. Give us, O God, your wisdom. Give us, O God, your strength to do with all of our might what our hand finds to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.